I'm Sheldon Richardson, and this is the Jets Blog Podcast.
Welcome back to the Jets Blog Podcast. I am your host, Corey Griffin, and with me, as always, on the other line, it's Brian Bassett. Hey, buddy.
Hello. Some rough couple days, but some interesting developments in the last few days, no?
Yes, we have many things to talk about, including claiming a tight end who got arrested for a second DUI because he talked his way into it on the side of the road, which we will get to in a little bit. But before we do that, just a short programming note. Today on the show, we're going to be joined by Ralph Acciano. We filled in for Brian a couple weeks ago to talk a little Jets with us, and then he'll be on in a little bit to break down what's going on in Florham Park. But before we get to Ralph, just a reminder that if you want to listen to this podcast, as well as any of SNY.TV's original podcasts for the other New York teams, the Mets, the Giants, the Knicks, the Rangers, and the Islanders, just make sure you subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's the SNY.TV audio network. And please remember to rate and review the channel so that other people can see it and other people can find it. The other day, I looked at the Jets Blog Podcast on iTunes, and we are moving our way up the ratings and reviews, so please continue to leave your comments there. But make sure you guys get to the SNY.TV audio network and leave your comments there as well. There were some interesting comments made at Jets Camp this week. I think we'll start there. We'll bring in Ralph. Ralph, thanks for joining us. How was the Come to Jesus meeting with Todd Bowles and company?
Well, you know, I guess that remains to be seen if they, you know, how they react to it. But it's obviously a big test for them. You know, they're coming off a pretty humiliating defeat. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Embarrassing. You know, Todd Bowles certainly had a ton of choice words to describe it. And, you know, it's a big reality check for them because they're still in the midst of this awful schedule. And now they're sitting here at 1-2 and a game that, you know, you hate to say is a must win. But if they're sitting there 1-3 heading to Pittsburgh and Arizona, you're looking at the potential for a disaster of a season. So, you know, whether they're coming to Jesus or whatever they're doing, they better do it quick. And I think that, you know, we'll find out as the week goes along how much the message from their coach sunk in.
It's a good point. And I think when you consider, you know, you said this is kind of a must-win scenario early on in the season. They're also getting a team that, you know, isn't at its healthiest. Do you think the Jets have this sense that, you know, they're kind of getting a little bit of a blessing in disguise with, you know, Russell Wilson being injured, Thomas Rawls being injured, you know, some injuries along their offensive line? Are they sensing that this is, you know, this might be a help to them a little bit or anything like that?
Well, it should be. They certainly can't look at it this way. I mean, they have to be expecting a tough game from a dangerous Seattle team. But yes, objectively, Russell Wilson not being completely healthy, Thomas Rawls being out, even add in the Seahawks haven't looked great for this entire season. And it's always tough for a West Coast team to make the cross-country trip. There's a lot of reasons why the Jets should win this game. But they, after the way they played in Kansas City, they can't be looking at that and thinking, okay, well, this works out in our favor. They have to assume that they're playing, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team that's going to give them their best shot because they can't make the mistakes that they've been making this season. They can't, I mean, you know, the Jets, I think the Buffalo Bills are awful. And the Jets went up there and came close to throwing that game away. You know, they had the Bengals game in their hands and they threw that away. Obviously, we know what they did in Kansas City, but they haven't given their best effort yet, and they certainly have shown they're capable of losing if they're not at their best. So, you know, while all the things do point to an advantage Jets, hopefully they're not looking at it that way. They're looking at fixing their own problems.
Yeah, and that really comes down to leadership, and I think this is going to be a big test for, as you mentioned, for Coach Todd Bowles, Coach Gailey, Coach Rogers. This is a game where they have to look at three games of tape, look at what hasn't worked, look at what has worked, evaluate the talent that they have some decent sample size of film on and make adjustments. If they're going to make adjustments in the secondary in terms of playing time, in terms of the way they use Darrell Revis, this would figure to be the game. On the other side of the ball, Ryan Fitzpatrick is, as we all know, coming off the worst game of his Jets career and maybe of his professional career. And he is playing a Seattle defense that has yet to allow a passing touchdown this season. They seem to be back to their old ways. Ralph, how do you think the Jets will begin to attack Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and company?
Well, I think they'll have to do it carefully. You know, this is going to sound painfully obvious after six interceptions, but they can't be too loose with the football. You know, they are an offense that likes to throw the ball. They've got a lot of weapons they can throw them to, but they just don't have that quarterback that can, you know, make great throws all the time. He's not elite. Brian Fitzpatrick is what he is. He's a journeyman quarterback who's coming off a career year, and it's hard to believe that he can duplicate what he did last season. He's got the talent, but as we saw in the end of the season game in Buffalo last year, we saw it against the Chiefs in tough spots. He's not at that elite level where he can be forcing passes and you know, doing things that you see the truly great quarterbacks do. So what they need to do are find high percentage passes and really let the playmakers make plays. You know, don't force things. Get the ball in the hands of Matt Forte and Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall on shorter passes, on easier passes, and then let them do the work. Because if you're trying to win it on the arm of Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's not impossible, but against a really good secondary, it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even really gotten to talk to or talk about the new player that the Jets have brought in, and they've actually, I guess, auditioned another. But Austin Spurrier Jenkins is now in the building. They put in a waiver claim over the weekend on ASJ after he, I guess, essentially shot his way out of town in Tampa. Obviously, there were kind of some explosive moments over the summer between him and Dirk Cutter, the coach of the Bucks. He comes to the team, you know, with obviously some, you know, some issues around rests. What is the feeling in Florham Park about ASJ, what he might offer this team, you know, and, you know, are you hearing anything from the players in terms of, you know, their, you know, how they see him fitting in?
Well, the feeling here is that he's there's a lot of talent there. It's low risk financially. Obviously, a guy like this with his background comes in with, you know, a one strike and you're out mantra where, you know, they're just going to see if he can clean up his act. He can play for them and maybe they can get a steal, which I think is why they did it. The only player that I've seen so far was spoken out on it was Brandon Marshall, who understandably said, you know, guys deserve second chances. And this is a real, this is a tough one. I mean, I'm not diminishing his DUI arrests, and he's had two of them. I'm not diminishing that at all. He did almost get out off with a warning on this one, although he probably should have been arrested right from the start. But if you look at the video that came out, you know, guys have done far worse and continued to play in the NFL. That's the reality of it, because coaches always look at the talent and they think, if I get him in my program, I can keep him under control. Every single NFL coach believes that. And, you know, it's hard to say that a guy doesn't deserve a second chance. It's hard to say, you know, he's punished by the law and the NFL is now going to ban him. You can't really do that. So as long as he's out there and available and not in jail, you know, why not bring him in and see, as long as their tolerance level for problems are low. He is facing a possible suspension that could loom over this a little bit. You know, obviously, he's got issues and they'll worry about that. But mostly, I think they feel like they don't really have usable tight ends, and this guy could be a usable tight end. So why not? Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. Like you said, the finances are certainly negligible. None of his money is guaranteed. He has first-round talent. There were plenty of coaches that said that much this week, and they're undrafted. The question is whether he is mature enough or dedicated enough to football to produce that talent or turn that talent into production. We shall see. He's unlikely to make an impact this week, Ralph. Before we let you get out of here, we'll ask you, or I'll ask you, if there's a player this week that the Jets need outside of the obvious, we're going to take Ryan Fitzpatrick off the table here. Might even take Brandon Marshall off the table and Darrell Revis off the table. If there's an under-the-radar player that the Jets need to be successful this week, who is it in your mind?
Well, you've taken a lot of big, important guys off the table there. You know, I think that this they're a really good secondary, obviously. And they can take a number one receiver like Brandon Marshall out of the game. You can probably even take two. I mean, maybe, you know, Eric Decker has a guy that can be a focus of them. It's hard to take three receivers out of the game. So to me, if you want to get the Jets offense moving, the third option guy becomes important. And whether that's Matt Forte out of the backfield or Quincy Enunwa having a big game, if you can get that third option, it spreads the defense thin and gives Ryan Fitzpatrick just more chances, more targets to throw to. So if you're taking all those big guys off, and, you know, obviously Darrell Revis on Doug Baldwin could be big, you know, but I don't think the offense has a chance if they're at all one or two dimensional. They're going to need a third option. So I'll give you Quincy Enunwa as a guy that I think has to be at least getting open, if not put up some big numbers.
Brian, anything you got for Ralph?
No, I mean, I think that's well said. I think that you're right. Enunwa is a key piece here because of their secondary. I think you're right on. And one thing I do wonder is, for as much as they're using Matt Forte, and you mentioned him there, you know, as a potential, you know, difference maker, I feel like they don't use him all that much out of the backfield. Are you hearing anything on that? Or, I mean, it just seems to me like I thought they would be using him a lot more as a pass catching option than we've seen to date.
Yeah, and it certainly looked that way in the limited time in the preseason. You thought that maybe he would be more of an option there. I think that, number one, they've used him so much as a runner. One of the reasons that you might see him less out of the backfield is they're mindful of limiting his touches. I mean, he was on pace for a ridiculous number of touches after the first two games. Obviously, there was a little less in the game against Kansas City. And they've had, you know, Quincy Enunwa has been a terrific third option for them. So with his emergence, maybe they're looking at Forte as kind of a secret weapon, a guy they don't have to use a lot as a receiver out of the backfield. I suspect that he will get more over time. But honestly, you know, their whole backfield usage has not been what I expected. I thought we'd see more of a balance between Matt Forte and Bilal Powell as a runner. It's been very Forte heavy, and I did think we'd see more of Forte as a receiver out of the backfield, and that hasn't materialized. So, you know, I think that might change as the season goes along, but right now I would suspect it has more to do with limiting the wear and tear on Forte's body than anything else.
Well, that's fair. Ralph, we very much appreciate the time. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your time at Florham Park, and enjoy the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Great stuff from Ralph. As always, make sure you guys follow him on Twitter at @RVacchianoSNY. And if you want to hear him on this podcast and any other SNY podcast, including the Giants one, make sure you subscribe to the SNY.TV audio network and follow him on SNY as well. Brian, there were a lot of good points made by Ralph as we look ahead to the Seattle game. I think there are two things that stand out to me. I guess I'll just transition to the most recent. And the idea that you brought up and Ralph brought up of more of Matt Forte out of the backfield, I think, or more of Bilal Powell out of the backfield as a passing option. I would like to see that. However, this is a terrible game for that. Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright are monsters in the screen game. They are unbelievably adept at reading plays even before they develop. They blow up screens. They blow up passes to the flat like nobody else. And given the quarterback at hand, whether you like him or not, I just worry about using that element against this defense with so much speed in the front seven.
It's well stated. And I think I think that if you haven't been paying attention much to Seattle so far this season, you know, their defense is incredible, right? It's been keeping them in games. Their offense has been probably less than a lot of people expected, right? You know, not a lot of Tyler Lockett. You know, the hot and cold, you know, receivers, you know, Jimmy Graham finally seeming to come on as he recovers from his injuries a couple years or last year. But all in all, you know, what's keeping Seattle relevant through three games this year has to be their defense. I mean, and it's been so good. I'm with you, right? You're not going to fool this defense. You're not going to catch them napping. You're not going to catch them in the flat. So I guess my question for you, Corey, is what do you do against this defense? I mean, where are the weak points in the Seattle defense? Because I'm not seeing them right now.
The thought would be out of the slot, whether that's Decker or Nunwai. Like Ralph said, I think the third wide receiver point is an apt one for this game. I think, you know, if you want to put Brandon Marshall on Richard Sherman, that's fine. But you can't. The other thing I would say is you can't forget about the guy that's on Richard Sherman just because he's on Richard Sherman. The Seattle defense gets an automatic win when you ignore your best player. Or your best receiver just because he's on a very good cornerback. You still have to test that player. You still have to test that corner. You still have to try to make that player into a successful part of your offense. The other thing I would say is they've got to give Fitzpatrick time. That's the best thing you can do. And I know that's a broad kind of dumb statement in that way, but it's simple. You've got to give Ryan Fitzpatrick time. You've got to keep Michael Bennett out of the middle of that pocket. You've got to allow Fitzpatrick to search for his options. You've got to give Brandon Marshall time to get off some of those physical bumps at these big physical defensive backs. And the other thing I would say is stay so far away from Earl Thomas. Just stay so far away from him as you possibly can.
Yeah, right. That's just very dismaying to me because I think – while I do think that this team, this Jets team, has a pretty good, you know, competent offense and some very talented players, right? I just don't see that they match up well against them. So in some ways, I wonder what their game plan is going to be. I do think, despite the fact that, as I said, I mean, I think they're one of the better defenses in the league, if not the best lately. You've got to kind of run it at them. You've got to.
That's another thing. You've got to pace. You've got to pace this offense. You've got to pace this defense. You've got to give the defense time to rest. You have to use your running backs. You have to use both of them, I think, in this game out of the backfield as runners, not just as passers.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I know that, you know, to your point about the screens and you know, you can't, you know, get too cute with them. I do think that if we talked about this a little bit, I think earlier this week or last week in using Bilal Powell as a slot receiver, right? Maybe you make Powell a fourth receiver and, you know, get a little bit of a better matchup or Forte for that matter as a slot receiver. I think they need to start creating some wrinkles and some, you know, creating some mismatches or, you know, just different looks because you're not going to fool this defense necessarily, but if you start creating some of those different looks, then it's only going to, you know, push that defense and try and stress it a little bit. And I just think you have to do some different innovative things here to make it work. Cause I don't see how they're going to, you know, just try and play this group straight up or get too cute necessarily and come away with the win. But certainly, you know, their offense, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean,
that was going to be my next question for you is spinning into the offense. You know, last week we saw Travis Kelce just absolutely shred the Jets defense.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally, we also happen to see Jimmy Graham finally make his return to prominence in Seattle. In week three, just absolutely destroying for that offense. I'm concerned about him if he is back to full strength, if they have found a way to use him. You know, I want to see it more than 1 week. I want to see it 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in a row to believe in it. But that's a guy I think that the Jets have to be major league concerned about.
I do. And I think, you know, as we talked about earlier this week, you know, how are they going to cover him, right? I mean, are they going to put Calvin Pryor on him one or one? Are they going to try and apply a vice coverage against him? Like what are they going to do to stop him if it's clear that, you know, he's back and he's, you know, he ate his Wheaties this morning and you've got to find a way to stop him. Cause I think everybody's been wondering when is it going to click, right? For Jimmy Graham, when is it going to click? When is it going to click last year before his injury, you know, this year. And so now finally we've seen some productivity. I'm kind of the worry that, maybe it is finally clicking. And regardless of who's playing quarterback, right?
Like, well, that's the big elephant in the room, isn't it? I mean, I thought Trevon Boykin did some very exciting things at TCU, yeah, but he ain't Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson came along, you know, despite even if he is limited physically in terms of his ability to run, his ability to move out of the pocket, and we'll get into that in a second. His ability to play from within the pocket as an actual pocket passer, as a developed player, as a developed quarterback, in the last, let's say, 7 to 10 games, and maybe 10 to 12, has been remarkable. And that scares the living crap out of me if he gets to play. Now, if Trevon Boykin is on the field, mm-hmm. you all of a sudden have to simplify a lot of what you do with the wide receivers in terms of route combinations, in terms of what you expect out of the quarterback to do individually, specifically behind that offensive line. And then all of a sudden it becomes a situation where we might be looking at the 49ers or the Rams Seahawks game from a couple weeks ago, where it's a low scoring defensive affair with a lot of ugly offensive football.
Yeah. And right. I think that's maybe the one, you know, thing to take some solace in here is, I mean, they just played the Bears, right?
Right.
The Bears are a pretty bad team.
Awful.
You know, compared to, I mean, the Packers aren't a, you know, world-class defense necessarily. And the Rams always seem to give the Seahawks trouble. But I would say, right, I would put the Jets defense, you know, closer in those other categories. So, right. So, you know, in some ways, what we saw against the Bears, we can't necessarily just assume is going to be replicated against the Jets, because I think they're a better defense, you know, by far than what the Bears are. So right, I'm going to take the limited sample that I saw from Boykin in that game and say, right, I'm not so worried about him doing the same thing to the Jets, because right, the Jets are going to bring their defensive line, they're going to bring their pressure players, and it's going to make life difficult for Boykin if he plays. Now, if Wilson plays, right, the mobility has to be a factor, right? Because that's such a huge part of the way he plays the game. If he's limited, you know, what are the Seahawks going to do instead? Are they going to run the ball a lot? I mean, we know they like to run the ball. Are they going to try and keep him in the pocket? Are they going to, you know, have a lot of quick passes, you know, more than kind of letting plays develop, letting them roll out? I would imagine that they'll try and do more of that against the Jets defense.
I wonder if we'll see a lot of underneath stuff, which is what the Chiefs did. I wonder, you know, it helps negate a little bit of the pressure if you can just buy a little bit of time, because the routes are so quick developing and short in nature. And also you can get the ball to a guy like Baldwin, who's a physical player after the catch. You can get it to Tyler Lockett. You can get to Jimmy Graham. I just think that that's a spot where the Jets can be exploited, even though they have upgraded the speed at linebacker. I think that's an interesting spot. So let's talk about that offensive line versus defensive line matchup before we get out of here. Regardless of who is a quarterback. I was just sorry. Taking a dramatic pause, Brian.
You did ruin it.
It's okay. We'll take another dramatic pause and then we'll just move on. If you look at this defensive line, It generally, you know, week one, I think, was undoubtedly its high point. The amount of pressure that they got on Andy Dalton, specifically in the first half and to the second half to some degree as well, was remarkable. The second week, yeah, but less so. And then last week, I think they failed to get home a lot, specifically on third and long. This week, the Seahawks offensive line is a freaking disaster. Even if Jermaine Ifedi, their first-round pick, plays, which is up in the air, it is a total train wreck. This is a game that the Jets should dominate from start to finish in the trenches, at least on the defensive line side of the ball. They should control the line of scrimmage. They should make life miserable. They should constantly be putting whoever is a quarterback for the Seahawks on the run. And this is a game where I expect all three of the big weapons, Richardson, Wilkerson, and Williams, to have impact games.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a great point. And I think a lot of, you know, what they're going to do in terms of Russell Wilson is going to come down to what their line is or isn't, right? So if you're going to put a hobbled Russell Wilson in a game with a line that's, you know, as we've said, you know, Swiss cheese, a disaster, or whatever you want to call that Seahawks offensive line right now, I wonder, you know, how ready or willing they will be to put Russell Wilson into even more harm's way in a game like this, if they feel like, you know what, our defense can hold us if Boykin plays well. Maybe I'm thinking they're going to try and make Russell Wilson active and plan around him. But, you know, if the week kind of gets sideways on them, I'm sure they wouldn't keep out of consideration, playing Boykin early, seeing how the game goes, keeping Wilson active as the two, and then if things start going sideways, then you bring him into the game. But, you know, maybe they try and use it as an opportunity to rest him to get him better while they're sorting out the line. But I'm with you. I mean, thinking back to what the Jets did against Dalton, I would expect it not necessarily to be as bonkers as that, but more of that than what we saw against the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs did a really good job of negating that line, using those quick plays, as you said. And maybe part of it is the Jets, they're not sneaking up on anyone now based on what they did against the Bengals, right? Everybody saw that week one and they said, holy moly, we've got to get into max protects and quick, you know, quick passes and quick developing plays, because if we let plays slowly develop, we're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, no, that's true. And if you give that defensive line time, they're going to find a way to make you pay. The other thing that I think is important here is the linebacker level. Kristen Michael is taken over full time as the running back in Seattle, and mm-hmm. against the 49ers last week, he was a monster. He was the Kristen Michael that we all thought he was going to be when he got drafted out of Texas A&M a few years ago. He is healthy, he is focused, and he is running decisively, and he is running angry, and he's got speed for days. He's just got this quickness and burst through the hole that I haven't seen from a running back, at least in Seattle, in a while. Lynch was more of a bruiser and not quite as quick off the jump as Michael is. You're going to need someone like Darren Lee. You're going to need someone like David Harris. You're going to need Jordan Jenkins if he tries to bust it outside. They're going to need their linebackers to play a big role in this game. And this might also be a game for Calvin Pryor to spend a lot of time down in the box as an extra linebacker.
Absolutely, right? And I think, you know, based on the health of their quarterbacks, based on, you know, just the rest of the situation, they are going to have to use those guys. And, you know, as we saw in the Chiefs game, there's ways to beat this group. Even as good as the Jets defensive line and the linebackers are, there's ways to beat them. I mean, I'm just thinking about that pitch play to the outside, the Chiefs ran against the Jets, which I don't know, went for about 20 yards or something like that. And then, you know, a couple, you know, passes to the flat, you know, that it's always been a problem, will continue to be a problem for the Jets. I'm thinking those are the sort of plays that we're going to see as staples. And right, that's, you know, that's where a player like Kristen Michael can feast, you know, and maybe he's not going to get it on every play, but you know, if he does it one in five or 1 in 10 times, and it's a, you know, a long chunk play when it does happen, you know, that's kind of all you need.
I definitely think we're going to see some option stuff like the Chiefs ran against the Jets last week. I would be stunned if we didn't see that 5 to 7 times through the course of the game, mm-hmm. maybe more if it's successful. And if Jimmy Graham scores on a drag route for a tight end when he's lined up out wide against a safety, I'm just going to jump off the upper deck. That's it. I'm just going to call it. But that's it. I will be at the game on Sunday. So if you are there, nice. Say hello, tweet me at Corey Griffin NBC. Let me know where you are. Come say hi, or I'll come meet you. Maybe I'll pop over to L7 again, like I did for the opener. Otherwise, make sure you get @Brian_Bassett, even though he won't be at the game. He will be watching and tweeting up a storm, I'm sure.
Yes. Yes. And as Corey just said, if you're going to the game or you just want to bother him with your hot taco takes, just hit him up at Corey Griffin NBC.
Thank you, Alex, for sending me that picture of tacos. It was much needed and it made my day. Folks, that's it for us this week. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Jets Blog Podcast, or SNY.TV Jets. You can also find us on the SNY.TV Audio Network, wherever you listen to your podcasts, along with all of SNY's other great audio content. Make sure you rate and review both of those channels if you could. We would very much appreciate it. Until then, folks, keep calm and jet on.
Dramatic pause.
This has been the Jets Blog Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.